Tomorrow, Penn State takes on Virginia at Scott Stadium in Charlottesville. We'll preview the game, including the play-by-play voice of the Cavaliers. 3 to 5, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. All right, so John basically says, look, get it over with. Just sing the song and go on. I understand that. Also, Joseph, Kevin, how many songs were re-recorded? I can cite a couple of examples. I Will Always Love You by Whitney Houston and Dolly Parton. Hurt by Nine Inch Nails and Johnny Cash. Personal Jesus by Johnny Cash. Marilyn Manson. As long as the basic emotion of the rendition stays, who cares? Oh, yeah, Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock.
All right, I got to give him Jimi Hendrix at Woodstock. I got to give you that one. There's no question. You're right on that one.
No, I'm just going through and I'm telling you what people are saying.
No, I can't disagree with Joseph about that one.
Yeah, so I'm just telling you. Just telling you what they're saying, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for re-recording, you know, and I Will Always Love You and Hurt, yeah, those are songs. They're not national anthems. That was the point that I was trying to make. But when you talk about rearranging things, Jimi Hendrix, I love the version of the national anthem at Woodstock, but I don't know that he rearranged it a lot. I mean, he just played it on an electric guitar is all.
I'm sure he rearranged it.
Not the same. Not the same.
Come on. Of course he rearranged it. That's a completely different sound to it. Completely different sound to it. Come on. This is all personal. Well, now Bob in Lewisburg probably has better musical sense than all of us combined. Bob, go ahead.
Hey, I'm going to weigh in on this.
Sure, Bob.
My wife is a music teacher, so she is a traditionalist. So anything other than the way that it was originally written is no good.
Okay.
But I found last night's version less offensive than probably I should have. But I prefer that version to Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing, you know, national anthem.
I can understand that. And again, and certainly it was absolutely a lot better than Roseanne Barr's. So
that is the understatement of the decade.
Now, I will say this, Bob. I have now set the bar so low, all right, that even my version would be acceptable.
But you know, you take a song. I mean, if somebody changed Handel's Messiah, the arrangement of that, people would be outraged about that. And I think that's how people get with the national anthem. This is the way it was written. It's the national anthem. This isn't, you know, Personal Jesus. This is the national anthem throughout the United States. I think that's why people get so bent out of shape about that. But I do like Jimi Hendrix. So,
What did your wife say about Jimi Hendrix?
Oh, she said, again, if it's not the way that it was written, the music, the arrangement, it's no good. And she's just that way with everything. Don't even sing praise music in church because I want the original hymn. I mean,
right.
She is so far traditional that, I mean, nothing would fly except the way that it was written. And I think... If this is a regular song, I don't knock yourself out, do whatever arrangement you want, but this is the national anthem.
Right.
It's bigger than the person.
It's also a very difficult song to sing, according to experts, in terms of the pitch and the range, yeah.
It is probably one of the most difficult songs to sing. My dream is when I do an announcing gig, Kevin, is to go out, sing the national anthem, but I'm not so sure I got it in me.
That's actually my nightmare.
I can barely hum it.
I'd weigh in on that again. I believe you're right. It is personal taste. I found that less offensive last night. They were showing the some of the players, and they were kind of bopping to it. You want to bop to the national anthem? It made me not want to put my hand on my heart because I was digging to the music. So I just wanted to weigh in, guys. Thanks.
Bob, I'm glad you did weigh in. Again, there's no right or wrong answer on this. This is a personal taste thing, and that's why I'd like to get opinions on it at 1-800-795-9565. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call Rick anytime, 800-609-9484, or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Lenape Solar Hotline's open today, 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Lenape Solar, visit them at lenapesolar.com. Let's get your opinion on this. And we're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We have previewed the weekend in high school football, and we appreciate the time everyone gave us in the opening hour. Now it's your time. And tomorrow we'll have a lot to do here between listening to Mike London, some from Bill O'Brien, Malcolm Willis, Michael Motti, Dave Kane, the play-by-play voice of the University of Virginia, also on the show tomorrow. We'll get you ready for Saturday's game, which will be on the air at 10:30 right here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You'll get a kick out of this. On our Facebook page, we have a posted when I asked the question, what do you think of Queen Latifah's national anthem? One word, horrible. And then Kevin says, Queen Latifah's publicist is loving her. I believe they full well knew what they were doing. I would agree with that, absolutely.
Oh, and Kevin, and believe me, Kevin is absolutely right. He's all over it. All over it. Because we're talking about it today. First of all, it's fun to talk about. Okay, this is not a serious issue. She showed no disrespect to it whatsoever. So this is all about personal taste. Okay. And Carissa wrote horrible.
Yep.
In capital letters.
There's no room for interpretation of what you thought. We did get a tweet that says, how about the flag? Let's keep the colors but rearrange the stars, make the stripes vertical. Is that okay, too? Because the flag that they unfurled was in the shape of the United States.
Oh, was it really?
Yes. Yes.
You have to remember, what I heard or saw this was after the fact. I wasn't watching when, but then I heard that, well, there was some controversy over the national anthem. I thought, well, I probably ought to take a look and see what the heck the controversy was. What did she do? And all of a sudden I found myself going, I like this. I know it's a different arrangement and it's all personal. I'm not a gospel music fan. I mean, but I just liked what she did and it fit her, by the way. But there's some people that agree with me that they liked it, and other people say, no. But the national anthem is done all sorts of ways. In other words, if we brought somebody out there on a harp, would you be offended by that? And I've heard it done on a harp.
I don't think so. I'd have to hear it. I don't know. I wouldn't be offended by any of it. But let's go there. I wouldn't be offended by any of it. I just don't think you need to drastically change it.
Well, I mean, she didn't change the words.
No.
No, she added to Home of the Braves, and she added the word brave three times afterwards. So she did add, but it was just...
The only thing I ask is get it done within 2 minutes, all right? You have a minute 50 to a minute to 2:05. Get it done in that window. That's all I'm asking.
Have you ever read Paul Zimmerman's Super Bowl book?
No, I don't think I have.
It's fabulous. And Zimmerman does this piece where every Super Bowl, he starts with the national anthem. You know what he rated the number one national anthem in all the Super Bowls he covered?
Well, my first guess would have been Whitney.
Super Bowl I, Grambling Band, 57 seconds.
7 seconds.
Yeah. It's from his book. 57 seconds, Grambling Band, best rendition. No, it's got out there, got it done, left.
57 seconds. What we're gonna, I'm going to work on getting a picture of the flag for you. We'll post it on stevejonesshow.com so you can take a look at that.
But I'd like to get your opinion. You listened to it last night, 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. And this is just something that cuts across the stream. Now, you're going to love this one. You're going to love this one. Yesterday, I talked about how inside the Beltway, and those who cover inside the Beltway are clueless. I mean, they're clueless. They don't know what America does. Okay? And I say this with all due respect to President Clinton. All right? And I said last night, that the ratings, I mean, nobody's going to watch it. Or relatively few people will watch it. Well, the overnights came back. Guess what got a 20?
I don't think it was President Clinton.
No. And again, I say this with all due respect to the former president. This is not about, I don't care who was up there speaking last night. Mitt Romney, Paul Ryan, President Obama, Vice President Biden, former President Clinton, it doesn't matter. Okay? And then the networks went on with their deal, the major networks, at 10 o'clock. And the former president spoke last night. And he spoke for about 50 minutes. On CBS, let's see, NBC's rating was, I think, like 20 for the game. And the post-game show was 13.7, I think.
Not bad for a post-game.
Right? On CBS, guess what the convention coverage ranked from 10 to 11, or it was 10 to 11:30.
2.9.
On ABC, guess what it was? Also 0.9. Now, these guys have been going, and my commentary is about the political commentators, okay? There is a reason why the president requested the Giants and the Cowboys and the NFL to move the game from Thursday, where it was scheduled, to Wednesday night. Because that was the night he was speaking, and he did not want that conflict. A reasonable request on his part. Because of this. And they're all going on, well, this speech, and the country's going to... And the country's... I said, I looked at the TV, I said, the country is not going to see this speech. They'll see it in excerpts, you know, on the, you know, the next morning or on the news or the 24-hour cycle. You may see excerpts tonight when they start their convention coverage. I said, but the vast majority of Americans, we're not going to see the speech. The vast majority of Americans, we're going to be watching the NFL game because the NFL is a really popular game and enterprise. And again, my comments are not in any way politically motivated. My comments are realistic. You know, and I realize it's their job, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, Fox, ABC, CBS, to build so you watch their coverage and what they're doing. But when you go on and on and on and don't have a realization or you fail to recognize that even though it's just an opening game and it's a game and it's not the most important thing going and this, that, and the other thing, more people would rather watch it.
Steve, do you think it would make more sense if they would have timed President Clinton's speech, former President Clinton's speech, to be at halftime and then fit in the halftime window?
No. Wouldn't have mattered. What they needed to do is they needed to have some common sense and they needed to have their convention earlier. Do it last week. Now, I think the Republicans are last week.
Republicans were last week, yeah.
Right. Then do it next week. Something. If they thought it was that important. Now, the president has the window. It's the only, it's, you know, I mean, the president has his window, and that's tonight. So he has the country to himself, okay? So if they thought Wednesday's speech was so important, this, that, and the other thing, you know, surprised they didn't put Biden on then.
But and this is not this is not a political commentary.
He could have made all the gaffes he wanted last night. Nobody would have known.
This is not a political commentary either. But do you think, I don't care if it's Mitt Romney, I don't care if it's President Obama.
I understand. Right.
Do you think that either one of those guys would be able to carry a 20 like the football game did?
No. Of course not. And tonight's not going to get a 20. Or even though it's the president and it's his speech. Okay? He'll do well. But it's not going to do, you know, but it's not going to. Look, the NFL, 17 of the top 20 shows last year were NFL shows. And the same thing in 2010. The NFL just has the ability to draw the casual fan to the table. The diehard's always there. So the Kevin Herrs, the Sarah Bartletts, the Steve Joneses, the Drew Kellys, the Sean Careys, the Roger Haddons, we're always going to be watching anyway because we love watching football. Okay? We're diehards. But it's the, and the people listen to this show, but it's the casual fan. The casual fan is the one that gets interested, likes it. You know, knows something about it, enjoys it, may not know all the nuances, may not know all the statistics, but they like watching it. That's how you get crowds of 100,000 in a stadium. That's how you get 20 ratings. Casual fan does that. Okay. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. We're in the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget our phone line open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. By the way, Stephon Morris returned to practice yesterday for the Nittany Lions. He is set to go for Saturday's game, should be, and Sean Stanley, same story, back at practice yesterday and set to go for Saturday as well. Still waiting on others. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
At Sunbury Motors, the rewards are many. And the regrets? Well, the regrets just don't happen. That's because no matter what vehicle you buy from Sunbury Motor Company, you are guaranteed to be satisfied. Not only when you first get that new or used car, truck, or SUV, but when you have your vehicle serviced, you'll always have the best experience possible from start to finish. Talk about variety being the spice of life? Well, at Sunbury Motor Company, you have the luxury of choosing from all the best brands like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. Each and every vehicle comes with awesome service and financing plans that fit your budget and are super easy to afford. You can even submit a financing application online and calculate the value of your trade-in. Ask about Sunbury Motors Tire Rewards Program. Service, parts, body shop, and quick lane too. New or used, the best vehicles come from Sunbury Motor Company. Visit sunburymotors.com to see all their new and used inventory and visit the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury or Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
I have a fun story for you. Okay. I heard Tim Brando tell this story, and I wanted to pass it along because I just think it's a lot of fun. Early days of ESPN, so you know they're flying coach, they're not flying first class and the whole thing. You know, they're just trying to somehow make ends meet. It's 1987. He goes out to Pauley Pavilion to broadcast a UCLA game. So he gets back. He's going to take the plane and fly back to Bradley International in Windsor Locks in Connecticut. And he's in row 27, and suddenly out of nowhere, whatever reason comes up, points, something like that, they come up. They said, you know, we can upgrade you to first class. He goes, really? I said, yeah. He says, I'll take that. And all of a sudden, he's up there, and he's in 3B. And he looks across from going to leave LAX, and he looks across, and he recognizes the guy across the aisle from him. But he doesn't want to say anything to him because he wants to be cool about it. So in the old days, they used to bring drinks to you. before the plane took off. That doesn't happen anymore. So they ask him, because he's in first class, what would you like? He said, well, I'd like to have, he says, do you have rum and coke? He says, yeah, rum and coke is great. So they bring it to him. Meanwhile, the guy across the aisle from him orders Grand Marnier. Well, gets it, boom, has another Grand Marnier. And they're still sitting there on the tarmac, and finally comes back and says, you know, Mr. Brando, would you, she says, hey, would you like to have another rum and coke? He says, no, this time just coke. And then the other guy across the aisle says, oh, you like Grand Marnier? He says, well, we're all out now. He says, well, okay. He says, how about Cavassier? He says, yeah, sure. So she says, we have Cavassier. And he's thinking to himself, wow, this guy's heavy duty here. He hasn't even taken off yet, you know. And he orders the big time stuff. Well, these people are getting on the plane, and they see Tim, and they say, hey, Tim, hey, great game. I was saying, hey, thanks. You know, let's come on board, look over. Hey, Tim, great game last night. And they go into the cockpit. This guy looks over and gives him the look like, well, who are you? Just give him that look. Well, the drinking continues, and finally somebody comes back, part of the crew, and they come back, hey, Timmy, great job. Boom, they go back to their seats in the back of the plane. So the guy across the aisle looks over. He says, should I know you? And he very proudly says, well, I'm Tim Brando with ESPN. Right? And the guy looks at him, he says, well, I think you probably know. I'm Blanken Gilligan. That was Bob Denver. He says, I'm Blanken Gilligan. He says, you're going back to Connecticut? He says, yeah. He says, I'm going to a mall opening in North Carolina. My life stinks. I'm going to a mall opening in North Carolina. My life stinks.
Where the popular question is, if the professor could invent all those cool things, how come you could never get off the island?
I know. I laughed so hard when I heard that story, I just knew I had to pass it along today.
Today's show brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call Rick at 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com. Sarah and the News next on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Kevin and I were talking in the break about the ability to learn, and we're talking about how everybody has their own method of learning. Some are great visual learners. Others can do it with books. So, we welcome everyone back. Today's show being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Give Rick a call at 800-609-9484. Visit online at rewfinancial.com. And, of course, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They have this beautiful Sunbury Motors studio I'm in is just spectacular. And also our phone line, 1-800-795-9565. It's powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. Buzz has taken advantage of that opportunity in Northumberland. Buzz, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. How are you today?
Thanks, Steve. Something I've been meaning to ask you for a long time about football. And I played in Lewisburg back in the 60s, and then 1964 I graduated. Then that fall, Lewisburg ran undefeated that year. It was their first undefeated, untied season. And it cycled in and out like all schools do. And I was curious as to whether you thought that there was just going to be a natural cycling of potential athletes, or if you think that coaching has a lot to do with it in high school, more so than in college. I mean, in college, wouldn't you say the players are all basically big, strong, fast guys, and that's how well they're coached as to what kind of success they have.
Well, you know what? You bring up a very interesting premise. Number one, cycling is important because you can hit it just right with a group of athletes, and thus it becomes easier. But there are also certain coaches, though, Buzz, that have the ability, and say you're in a particular cycle where you may have, let's just say, 2-8 talent. They might have the ability to make it 5-5.
Just through knowledge and ability.
Knowledge, ability, and also the ability to place you in the right spot. One of the key parts of coaching is to look at somebody and say, you know what, he's a good safety, but he'd be a better outside linebacker. Yeah. He is a good wide receiver, but you know what? I need him to play corner, okay? And part of that is placing personnel and also devising schemes. And you can also prepare your team in such a way that you can gain them a step if they're a smart group, anticipating plays on both sides of the ball where it becomes instinctive. So coaching comes into play where you can take maybe 2-8, 3-7 talent and make it 5-5 or 6-4. You also have coaches that – it's just, for whatever reason, can't communicate with their kids, and they can take 6-4 talent, and they can make it 4-6.
Well,
because
think,
it has to be the right mesh.
Do you think that it's any different in college level then?
College is because it's recruiting, Buzz.
Okay.
You make your own bed with the kids that you end up with.
So you get who you want, and then you got to do with that.
Yeah, and you have to do with that. In other words, so I've looked at the positional balance of my team. I like to have those round numbers, 10 defensive backs. I'd like to have 12 offensive linemen. And if you happen to, quote, make a mistake, okay, and that's just a loose term, make a mistake on two of those guys in the offensive line, and I made a mistake on three of those guys in the secondary, I'm going to have problems because they can't adjust to the speed and the ability level between high school and college. Now, a high school coach, you have what the town produces, a Catholic school like Bishop Guilfoyle or Bishop Hoban or something like that, where you might have the ability to really kind of skew the talent in your direction. Okay? Why do you think Moeller High School was so great all those years in Cincinnati? I mean, let's face it. You know, when you have a selection of some of the cream to come and play for you, that helps out. In a town, you're stuck one way or the other with what you have and what the town has produced and, you know, who moved to town how many years ago.
And, you know, you see this cycling over the years. I mean, Mifflinburg's really good now. Mm-hmm. Lewisburg's really good now. Selins Grove was good. Tawanda's good. I remember the last year in school, the Lewisburg's last game in 1964, in that undefeated season, they beat Tawanda 72-0. Now
right.
Tawanda's a power. And you look, and every school around here has had its day. But, mm-hmm. you know, Berwick is the only one I can think of that was really consistent, and I'm not really clear on why that was. But
yeah,
my favorite
George
coach
did.
Stories, I have, a good
George
friend named Jim, I have a good friend named Jim Wetzel, who was a teacher
sure.
and coach in Lewisburg for years. And he loves to tell the story when he was a football coach that he finally had to quit for health reasons. Everybody was sick of him losing.
Well, there's certain. Remember the old saying in coaching, that guy's so good, he can take his and beat mine, and he can take mine and beat his.
Yeah, that's interesting,
some guys,
yeah.
But, you know,
well, thanks,
some
Steve.
People said it.
Yeah. Appreciate that input.
Thanks so much, Buzz.
Take care.
As
Bye-bye.
Always, 1-800-795-9565. We go from Northumberland to Milton. Ken, welcome back to the show. It's great to hear from you, my friend.
Hey, happy spring-like fall-type afternoon here. I'm not going to complain. I mean, I like the fall weather, but this is really nice out here. I'm watching NFL football, and the high schools are going. And I'm not sure whether I'm coming or going, if I should be getting ready for spring training or football season. But
yeah,
I'm not.
It's beautiful out. Yep.
Hey, I wanted to, you know, it's funny, I actually called for another reason, but I commenting on the last call, I think sometimes the coaches that do at the high school level, I think, and you're completely right, and I agree 100%, and that schools the size of these schools around here definitely run in cycles. In the same regard, I think those great coaches, those coaches that have done things and have built a program that sustained success over the course of a long period of time, I think sometimes they're given a little more grief than credit. And I'll bring up the example of a George Curry, you know, who had success, and I know the stories of them recruiting and bringing people in and getting them jobs. I also know a lot of that to be false. I'm not saying those kind of things don't happen. He didn't recruit every single great football team he ever had there. And I don't know, a lot of folks don't remember, and it was a little bit before my time, even when Southern Columbia was the doormat that everybody scheduled to get an easy win.
And now?
And it's been that way since 1985, 86, 87, in that neighborhood. So, that, you know, Jim Roth deserves credit. And you know, Mount Carmel has won, what, nearly 800 games in the history of the school? Mm-hmm. Think about that and put that in terms of retrospect. That's 80 10-win seasons. That's amazing.
It is.
And, I think sometimes the coaches that do a good job in establishing a program, I think sometimes maybe they don't get as much credit as they deserve because things have a tendency to run in cycles, and they're able to break that cycle because their program is so strong that it feeds itself. But and I just wanted to make that comment.
And in fact, you make a really good point. I'll give you an example of State College as a Quad A school. State College is a Quad A school, and it started with Ron Pavlechko and now has transitioned to Al Walsky. They do a very good job of imparting what they need to their two middle schools, Mount Nittany Middle School and Park Forest Middle School. Park Forest, by the way, is where Chris Fowler went to school when he lived here in State College. And they do a good job of getting the system ingrained to them. And the same thing with the basketball program here, where they get the system ingrained to the 7th, 8th, and 9th graders so that they at least have a handle on the system once they get there. And that's their way of developing, quote, a program that you're talking about, Ken.
And Steve, that's what I was just going to say. And Ken, you're talking about a lot of coaches that have been there a long time, and it's the same system that they're running year in and year out, up and down, all the way down into the youth program. They're running the same systems. And those are the teams that have the perennial success, the ones that have coaches that have had the longevity, and the kids have gone up through the system playing it at every level.
There's also a lot of pride in towns too over this. A lot of pride.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Sometimes it doesn't anger me, but I get a little. People think it's a magic pill. Oh, they drink something different. You know, Seals goes another example. A lot of people may not. They've been winning for a long, long time down there before they won their state title. And it's not a magic pill. There's a lot of people and a lot of kids that work very hard. And real quick, Kevin, and I don't want to manipulate your show, but we were talking last week about the games that we thought were going to be interesting. You and I must be a genius because we thought that Seals Grove game was going to be all right. It turned out to be. And I'm looking over the schedule for this week, and I just don't see it being all that interesting. However, you do have Trinity coming into Seals Grove, not knowing a whole lot about that. And, of course, Mount Carmel and Lewisburg. The rest of them, and I don't want to use this term in a disrespectful manner, are pretty much sleepers. Southern Columbia, I hope they have a lot of ambulances on hand there because what they do to Montgomery could be criminal. But just your thoughts real quick. I think Mount Carmel beats Lewisburg. I think it's a decent game as it has been. But Seelands Grove, I think, is real. I think they might be back from I don't know how good Danville is because, like I said last week, I really don't think Milton is that good. Just your thoughts on some of the local games, if you haven't already talked to them, and I'll hang up and I'll let you finish.
Well, Ken, hang on in case I run into something, but I think Milton is a lot better than the score was last week. I thought they moved the ball very well on Danville. I thought Danville just offensively had their wing tee running to perfection. I mean, they were any time that they wanted to pull the guard and make that block, it was there, and it was 10 yards. I mean, they were just running the ball up and down the field on Milton's defense. They're going to have to make some adjustments there. But Milton offensively was running the football and was moving the football up and down the field. They just made some mistakes at the wrong time. I think the best game, and it's not because I'm going to be doing the game, but I think really the best game on the ticket next to Lewisburg-Mount Carmel is Shikellamy-Mifflinburg, because I think both these teams match up very well. I think they're two teams that have that have the ability to move the football up and down the field, and I don't think you're going to see a 3-0 game. I think there's going to be a little bit more offense in that one. So that would be my game that I wouldn't want to miss if I was able to go to any of them.
Well, see, now that's the beauty of having talk radio around here and being able to talk about this. A guy like me can call in and animately disagree with a commentator like yourself. But
that's right, and I don't know anything next to anybody else either. So, you
know. It's one of the reasons why I think the world of you, Ken.
Well, that's the fun of it. I'll let you guys go. Now, I don't want to get you into trouble. I don't know if this is legal or not. You have a delay, but in that retrospect, I'll give you Shikalimi in 21, and I'll talk to you next Thursday.
Okay, Ken. Appreciate it. Oh, it's always good hearing from Ken. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. Today's show being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit online at rewfinancial.com.
Homeowners and business owners, listen up. What if you could make an investment in something that will never lose its incredible value? Invest in the most abundant commodity there is, the sunshine. Lenape Solar can show you how an investment in a photovoltaic or solar thermal energy system can pay you back through saving money and energy with a great rate of return. In fact, an investment in solar energy pays it forward to your great-grandchildren and to the planet's future. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for solar energy and energy efficiency solutions. Experts in renewable energy legislation and incentives with professional and certified installers. Take the path towards energy independence by investing in solar energy with Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free energy consultation today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Greetings, Mark Lawrence from WKOK's On the Mark program. Tomorrow, it's a raucous Open Phones Friday. Ben Reichle returns to On the Mark, 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Greetings, my main man. You know what? We're very fortunate. It's interesting that we all got together, what, about 3 weeks ago? Because, I mean, obviously I'm the person that's not there that often for obvious reasons. But we all get together, and that's one thing about this partnership all of us have. Sarah, Kevin, Sean, Drew, right? Mark, Roger, Ben Reichle. The group of us, we have a blast because we're all such good friends in this thing, and we're very fortunate. All these other people are very talented, and to let me be a part of it, a thrill for me just to be a part of what they do. But you can't do what we do in this afternoon without having a great lead in the morning. So many of you get up in the morning and you put on Mark Lawrence and On the Mark, okay? And when you do, you keep it tuned to 1070 WKOK all day, which then leads into what we're doing. And I can't say enough about it. You can't do anything unless you have a strong lead in. And hopefully we're having people listen to this show and they keep the radio on and it's on in the morning when you listen to Mark. Hopefully we're returning the favor to them.
Well, you're making a very good point because when we started Fridays during the high school football season, we did like a half hour of a football preview. And that kind of made the, you know, when we started getting calls about it and, well, like we just did there a few minutes ago with Ken, you know, it was like, maybe there's a opportunity here that we're missing. And that was when this show became evolved into that,
right? That's what we want to do. I mean, it's the lead in stuff to all of this, and Mark does a great job of setting up the entire day so that people are tuned into 1070 all the way through, and then they get to this show in the afternoon. We're fortunate to have that. Well, hopefully what we're doing is the same thing, that you're listening to this and in the morning you go and get in the car and you drive and suddenly you have Mark on. So hopefully we're returning the favor. Very, very lucky. Very lucky. Our number, 1-800-795-9565. We've had everything today from high school football previews to Queen Latifah and the national anthem.
That's something I never thought I'd hear on WKOK. It's Queen Latifah.
I understand that, but you know what?
It works. It's timely.
No, it's timely, and we have people call about it today. Because it's, again, it's part of the social world. There was more commentary on social networks last night about what she did than virtually anything else. There's more than on the Cowboys-Giants game, more on the former president's speech. More was about her last night. So, look, you try to stay in touch and online with what people are doing. And, you know, and we've talked a lot about Penn State football. And something I'm going to talk with, I'll have Bill O'Brien on in an hour here. And Bill will join me from Damon's here in State College.
That's right. It is Thursday. It's Steve Jones Thursday on WQ.
You know, well, I mean, people have asked me, so WKOK, and they said, look, every broadcaster in this country, they don't just do the games. They have to have a home base to work from. This is my home base. You know, this is the station I chose to be on. This is the audience I chose to be with. It was my choice. Because, Kevin, as you know, I had choices. And I was,
I'm not,
you know,
going there.
No, but I did.
No, I know.
And I picked this. This is the station I absolutely wanted to be on, and this is absolutely the audience I wanted to be talking to. And every single day confirms it was the right thing. Every day. And I'm going to talk to Bill a little bit tonight about balance and play calling. Because if you look at the game, and I have the play breakdown. I have the play breakdown for the entire game. Penn State ran 30 plays on first down in that game. What was the run-pass grouping?
25-5 pass.
Do you really believe that?
I don't know. I was just taking a stab. Honestly, I saw the second half, so I couldn't tell you for sure what it would be.
14 runs, 16 passes.
That's pretty balanced.
Yeah.
Can't get too much more balanced.
Now, on second down, that's where the balancing starts to skew itself the other way. Okay, I think it ends up being like 14-6 or something like that. Okay, on second down plays. And you're saying, why so many fewer second down plays? Because sometimes you get a first down on first down. It's another first down play.
Didn't he talk about that on Tuesday too, Steve?
He talked about it. Look, I have to do a better job of, right? And I'm saying it depends on situation. Now, Is he taking pressure off people? Probably. But I'll be honest with you. I think he's deliberately being hard on himself. Now it's 48-22 is the play balance on the play calls. Right? 40, okay. So I understand that. But it's not quite what people think it is. Now, does he want to be more balanced? Might you see more running this week? It depends on what Virginia does. Virginia's a 4-3 defense, and I've watched this tape. And I watched, saw a little bit of Florida State, a little bit of Auburn, a little bit of Virginia Tech, and a chunk of Richmond, because Richmond was their opener. They're a 4-3 alignment, and they align themselves in such a way where I think there's some running available to Penn State. There is some running game available to Penn State based on what I saw on the tapes. I'm not quite done watching them. I want to watch it. Believe it or not, I actually want to watch a little bit of the fourth quarter of the Richmond tape because I want to see I want to see Phillip Sims in the game. He was a quarterback who last year, actually, I had to look at him last year on tape for Alabama. Because coming into the Penn State game, people were not sure whether A.J. McCarron or Phillip Sims would be the quarterback. And that if one started, the other one was still going to play. Well, it turned out that A.J. McCarron played the entire game. Phillip Sims never got in the game. Transferred to Virginia, he's eligible now, right away. He actually played at the end of the game on Saturday. Was 5 of 6 passing. Now, this is after Michael Rocco had softened them up to the tune of 311 yards, the second highest number of his career. All right. So, Michael Rocco definitely starts. Might Sims play a little bit? We'll see. We'll see. I think they have a good running back in Perry Jones, a couple of really good receivers in Tim Smith and Darius Jennings. defensively, they have a couple guys coming back from injuries. The defensive end's coming back from a broken leg last year, broken bone in his leg. And the other kid, Steve Greer, the linebacker's coming back from an ACL. I think they're good on defense, but I don't think they're great on defense. And also remember this, between the 20s last year, they were dynamic. They were fourth in the ACC in total offense. They were dead last in the ACC in the red zone. Food for thought. We'll preview the game for you tomorrow. Thanks to Rick Weibel.